Let us turn our Bible to our text in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 to 23. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Verse 4, and a mixed multitude that was among them fell a lasting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout the families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take off the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? And for it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them, to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them, to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. May the Lord bless us in the reading of his holy word. In the text that we have just read, it is a record of Moses and the Israelites. Yes, they were on their journey from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, somewhere just at the outskirts of the Holy Land. Indeed, it was a long and dreary journey that they were going through in the desert land. And the only source of food that they had was manna coming down from heaven. But soon after, the people became tired of the manna that they had been taking every day and every night. And they started, therefore, to despise the heavenly manna supplied to them without fail by the Lord God Almighty. Instead, they started to lust after and to think of what they had before. When they were in Egypt, the good food that they had enjoyed while they were slaves in the land of Egypt. And so the people complained to Moses, and they pressurized him that they should turn back to Egypt for the sake of the good food that they had there. Moses, faced with the pressure from the people, therefore turned unto the Lord God and cried unto the Lord God for help. And the Lord God instructed Moses to select 70 elders to help him, to be together with him, to manage this difficult situation. The Lord also told Moses what he would do in order to help them. He said that he would provide enough meat for the people, even as they were asking for meat, for flesh, that the Lord God would provide enough for them, that it would last them for one whole month. But Moses, in a moment of weakness of the flesh, limited God's ability to do so. He doubted if God would do what he had said he would do. We shall focus our attention on verses 21 to 23 and learn some lessons from what happened in the exchange between Moses and the Lord God Almighty. We note that firstly, Moses looked to the problems of men. And secondly, Moses looked to the provisions of the earth. But Moses looked not unto the power of the Lord God Almighty. Firstly, let us learn the lesson here, not to look unto the problems of men. In our text, in verses 18 to 20, there the Lord God told Moses to tell the people that he would provide them with flesh, even as they asked for, to eat for one whole month in a desert land. But in verse 21, Moses said unto the Lord God, the people whom among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat for a whole month. Moses was looking at a problem right before him. The problem was indeed a big problem. It concerns the many men whom he had to deal with. Yes, he was talking about 600,000 footmen. That's more than 500,000, not including their families, not including their wives and their children. If you include their wives and their children, that may come up to over a million. How to provide food for so many people in a vast desert and for one whole long month? How could it be possible to do so? Moses was focusing on the problem than on God's promises and ability to provide for the people, God's ability to handle the situation for him. Yes, it was as it were, Moses was putting a 5 cent coin right on his eye, and it obscured his sight of the greatness of the Lord God Almighty. Try putting a 5 cent coin right in front of your eyes, or also another maybe 50 cent coin right before your eyes, and what will you see? You'll be able to see nothing. Yes, if we're to look closely at our problems and focus on it so much, we will not be able to see anything, any help that there is around us. Moses had a moment forgotten who God is, that he's the creator of heaven and earth, that he has brought them through the Red Sea, that he had provided them with water from hard rock, and he had provided them with manna falling down from heaven. Moses had forgotten that God is able. For a moment, he limited God's ability when faced with such great pressure, a massive task right in front of him. And this was as a result of him looking in the wrong direction. It was because he focused on the wrong thing. Moses was focusing on the big problem in front of him. He was overwhelmed with the problem of men. Not only Moses, in fact, in the Bible there are similar cases in which we can see that There were many people who were worried about their big problems and forgetting that the Almighty can do great things. We remember of Mary that morning, that resurrection morning, when she rushed to the tomb in order to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And while she was running to the tomb, what was foremost on her mind? She was worried about the big stone, the huge stone. Who is going to roll the stone away from us, for us? And so she was worried about the big problem. There was also Peter. Peter was worried about the winds and the turbulent waves when he was walking on the sea to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he focused on that big problem and took his focus away from the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to sink. We also remember of Saul, King Saul, when he encountered the giant Goliath, a big problem right in front of him. But he was of no courage to defend his nation and his people and the name of God in fighting Goliath. It was only until David, the small little David, who came and fought the big Goliath. How about us, dear friends? Is there any problem in our lives that is greater and bigger than our Lord God Almighty? Do we tend to limit the Lord God Almighty when we are faced with problems in life and forget all that He has done for us and all that the Lord God Almighty can do for us? Do we limit that He is able to carry us through in whatever difficult situations that we may have in life? Dear friends, what big problem do you have? What are the challenges are you encountering in life now? Is there a big interview for you that is coming up soon? Or is there a big presentation that you have to do to present to some big people, maybe your big bosses? Or is there some big projects that you're handling, that you're responsible for? Is your business in trouble? Or is your staff problems too complicated for you to handle? Is your financial problems too massive? Perhaps there may be some here who are facing problems in your family, or maybe even in your marriage, at work, in school. What about the church? Yes, is there some big problem, some tough issue to settle, or perhaps some quarreling between people? Dear friends, think about it. Is there ever so big a problem in our lives, that God cannot help? Yes, we all do face problems in this life. There are many problems and challenges that we have to go through. But do we come to the Lord God Almighty and to seek Him for help, to acknowledge that He can do wonders, instead of complaining to Him that our problem is just too huge for us to handle? Do we have the habits to come to the Lord God Almighty, to realize that He is able and to entrust all our problems unto Him? Or do we doubt if He could ever help us? Because we, like Moses, think that our problems are too huge. Surely we who are truly children of God know Him and who He is. And we should believe that He is able, that the Lord God Almighty is the expert of all things. And even so, He should be the first person that we should run to when we do encounter problems in life. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us who are His own. And He knows us. He knows the difficulties and the troubles that we do go through in life. And our problems are just His problems. Yes, He says to us, in this world, you shall have troubles and tribulations. But I have overcome the world. Whether our problems are big or small, the Lord is interested in us and He's able to help us. We just have to go to Him faithfully and ask Him to help us. Ask and we shall be given. Seek and we shall find. And knock and we shall be opened unto. He bids us to come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. This is the Lord's invitation. Dear friends, whatever problems we have in life, let us come unto the Lord God and he will help us, rather than to focus on the problems that are right before us. Now we see in verse 22, Moses kind of explained why he was doubtful in God, in what God had said that he would solve his big problem. He challenged God, saying in verse 22, "Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for men to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" Here we see that Moses doubted if God was able to truly provide sufficiently for all the 2 over million people that he had to take care of. Moses was again looking in the wrong direction here. Instead of looking heavenward and to know that the Lord God can provide in ways and means that we may not know of, he looked at the earth. He was looking at what the earth could provide. So he challenged the Lord God that if all the flocks and all the herds and all the fishes of the sea, if all this were made available, they would still not be able to provide for the people sufficiently. Moses doubted if all that is in the earth could be used to feed the people. He doubted if he would be able to solve, if the Lord God would be able to solve his big problem of feeding the hungry people for one whole long month in a dry desert. Moses had forgotten again that the Lord Almighty could do great miracles, like providing manna which came down from heaven, and how the people had been fed so far with it. He had forgotten how the Lord God had provided water for them in the desert, and turning bitter water sweet for them to drink. Dear friends, can the Lord provide enough to feed hungry people? Did not the Lord God, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, while he was here on earth, how he fed the 5,000 with just 2 fishes and five loaves of bread? And there was another time how he fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fishes, though the disciples were doubtful whether if the Lord Jesus Christ could do it, to feed so many people in the wilderness. Did not the Lord of hosts say in Malachi 3:10 that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall be no room for us to receive them? Yes, the Lord says to us, "My dear child, lift up your head and look heavenward, rather than to look upon what the earth can provide. Surely he will provide all that we need. Look not upon the earth of what it can provide, but look towards heaven always. The Lord himself, he himself is the bread of life. Is he not able to feed all hungry souls? Surely he is able. The millions of hungry people did not matter to him at all. Yes, he is able to do great and mighty things that we know not of." Dear friends, do you look up unto the Lord God and look heavenward whenever you encounter with big problems, big or small, whatever they may be? Or do you focus upon this earth, what this earth can do, and think that it does not make any difference if I were to look up to him and to seek him for help? Dear friends, do you depend on your earthly provisions, your earthly methods, your earthly ways to solve your problems in life? Some of us may think that all the monies that we have, all the riches that we have, all the wealth that we have, and as long as, you know, we have the status, we have the wisdom, as long as we work hard and as long as we have good health and strength, we will be able to settle all the problems that we have in life. So therefore, there's no need for us to look unto the Lord God, to cry unto him, to pray and to seek him for help. Dear friends, do not put God out of your life. We should always be looking up towards heaven, for truly, that is where our help comes from. Why look to the provision of this earth? And why not look upward unto heaven? Why not look unto the power of God? Is God too small and is God too insufficient to help us to overcome the problems we have in life? Yes, that's exactly what God requires of us to do. To look unto his power. He's the one who can help us. He's the one who can provide. And so now, after the Lord had allowed Moses to express all his fears and doubts to God, in verse 23, the Lord finally spoke. And here we see that he challenged Moses with his own questions in return to Moses. In verse 23, the Lord asked Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no more power now to deliver? The Lord God is saying to him, am I now become inefficient and powerless? Before I was able, am I now not able anymore? Dear friends, let us not forget that the Lord God Almighty, yes, He is the Lord of heaven and earth. There is no problems too huge for Him to handle. There is no way whatsoever that He cannot provide for us. He is the one who rebuked the sea and caused it to dry up so that Moses and the children of Israel could go through, could cross it safely to the other side. There is no way whatsoever that the Lord God cannot help. Yes, He is the one who performed so many miracles when before He delivered them out of Egypt, how He turned the water into blood and the fishes died in them and stank. All these miracles and the 10 plagues that the Lord God performed were not to tell the people that the Lord God is able, the Lord God is great. But now apparently Moses had forgotten and the Lord God is asking him, is the Lord's hand waxed short? He's the one who is in control of heavens and earth. And he's the one who has taken care of them and watched over them while in the wilderness, providing the pillar of light in the night to protect them, and the pillar of clouds to protect them from the hot sun. And God is saying to Moses, have you forgotten all these things that you have seen in me that I had performed? The Lord had to rebuke Moses and to remind him of his greatness. What about us, dear friends? Have we forgotten the mighty power of God? That God is so able and He's so powerful, and all that He has shown in our life, all that He has performed before in our lives, have we forgotten them all when we are faced with difficulties and troubles and problems in our life? If you really cannot think of any power of God that you have ever witnessed in your life, then think of His power of saving you, of redeeming you from your sins. Yes, this is one of the greatest, if not the greatest miracle that the Lord God had performed in our lives. Calling us out of darkness into His marvelous kingdom. Saving us from our sins, from condemnation unto eternal life. And indeed, this is what the Lord God has done for us so greatly. Have we lost sight of it? Dear friends, our God is able, and we shall therefore be able. If we are to look up to Him and hope in Him and trust in Him and always focus on Him and look unto Him rather than to look unto our problems. King Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, there he writes, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Yes, let us always keep on trusting in the Lord and not to depend on our own understanding. But acknowledge who God is. That He's the Lord God Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, the Maker of us all. He will be able to help us. He will be able to direct us as we go through this life here on earth. Yes, we are to acknowledge His power and His greatness. That is, He is able. He's able to do all things, although we may not be able to comprehend it totally. Are we doing that? Now we look further into verse 23. What else did God say to Moses? The Lord God, after having challenged Moses concerning His power and ability to do all things, and that He is not limited in any way by anything whatsoever, He further challenged Moses, saying to Moses, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Yes, here the Lord is saying to Moses, you will soon see, before you doubted me, whether if I'm able to do what I said, Now you will soon see what I said concerning feeding the millions with flesh for one whole month. That is going to come to reality. It's going to come to pass. Dear friends, how do we consider God's word and his promises? The Lord God now is testing Moses. You shall see whether my word shall come to pass. How do we consider God's word and his promises given to us? Do we believe every word that the Lord God has spoken? Hear what the Bible says concerning his word, his very own word. Isaiah 48 tells us, the word of our Lord God shall stand forever. Ezekiel 12:25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall my word that be he that be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Dear friends, the Lord has spoken, and who can shut? There is power in the word of the Lord. He spoke, and the heavens and the earth were made. And he is faithful to keep his word he has spoken, and he will fulfill it, which he has spoken. Do we doubt God's word, which are spoken to us? Every Sunday as we come to worship the Lord God, even as we attend Sunday school, as we hear the word spoken to us, do we doubt what has been spoken to us from God's word? The word of God has been preached to us over the pulpit, Sunday after Sunday. Do we believe in what the Lord God has spoken to us? Do we say amen to them? Or do we say, oh yeah, with a disbelieving heart? Do we take his word seriously? Do we treasure the word of God? Do we seek to study his word carefully and intensely and to know deeply what his word exactly means to us? Do we love the word of God? Do we defend the word of God? Which is ever after under the attack of the evil one? Do we believe in the power of the word of God, that it will not return unto him void? Do we therefore share his powerful word of salvation with those who are still outside the kingdom, those who are still lost? Do we meditate on his word day and night and follow the statutes in order that we might live a life that is well-pleasing unto the Lord God? Dear friends, Moses at first doubted what God had spoken, as he was overwhelmed with the big problem that he was faced with. And he forgot to acknowledge who God is, and he refused to believe in what God had said. But after this encounter with the Lord God Almighty, and when the Lord God challenged him, Moses must have felt terrible by the rebuke. And so he confessed and he repented and believed finally in what God had said. We are told in verse 24 that he went out and told the words of the Lord to the 70 elders. That means he had finally realized his mistake and believed in what the Lord God had said is true. And also God proved himself to Moses that what he said he would do, as we see in verses 31. In verses 31 to 32, there is recorded for us, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. So the Lord God finally brought in the quails in abundance, and the people spent all day and all night gathering the quails. So what the Lord God had spoken to Moses, what the Lord God had promised to him, that he would solve the problem for him, it came true. Even as at first, no doubt Moses doubted God's word. God is faithful to his own word that he has spoken, and it will come to pass. Dear friends, do we have a God who is the creator of heaven and earth? Indeed. Our Lord God Almighty is the maker of us all. Surely there is no problem in our life that is too difficult for him to solve or to handle. We should learn not to focus upon our own problems in life here on earth. Not to look unto our earthly ways to settle our problems. But rather let us look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto him who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who can truly help us. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is the Lord's hand shortened that he cannot redeem? That he cannot deliver? And that he cannot save? Is anything too hard for the Lord God to help us to perform? Let us not tempt the Lord. Let us not doubt him. Let us not limit him, his ability. With men, yes, our problems may be difficult. Maybe impossible for us to handle. But it is not so with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So let us remember. Remember as we go through life, as we face with problems, big or small. Look not to the problems of men. And look not to the provisions of this earth. But rather, let us look unto the power of the Lord, who is able to help us and to deliver us all from all our problems in life. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how we thank and praise thee for who thou art. Thou art the great Lord God Almighty, the maker of us all, the creator of heaven and earth. Thou art the Lord God who can help us. Lord, in whatever situations that we are in life, whatever troubles and difficulties that we do encounter, O Lord, whatever problems that we have in life, help us to look up unto thee, to trust in thee, Lord, that thou art able. Help us that we may not be so inward-looking and not to depend on our own selves and even to look down on this earth. But Lord, to always look heavenward, for there indeed is where our help comes from. So Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.